Good morning. Good to have you along with us. Today's program originally set to air July 14th and 15th, year of our Lord 2024. Looking at the calendar for July 14th, it is National Mac and Cheese Day, National Tape Measure Day, National Grand Mariner Day. July 15th, Monday, Social Media Giving Day. I'm not sure exactly what that means. National Get Out of the Doghouse Day, third Monday in July. Well, that's probably a good thing to do today. National Gummy Worm Day. Now, there was a time that was pretty innocent. I don't know about now. National Tapioca Pudding Day. National I Love Horses Day. National Pet Fire Safety Day. I guess that means you think about what to do with your pet in case of a fire. Mark chapter 11, that's where we're going to be. When I think about July 14th, I think about 7:14. I obviously, and many of you do as well, we think about 2 Chronicles 7:14, famous passage of Scripture in God's response to Solomon's prayer, in which he said, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and will forgive their sin, and will heal their land." Our land is in need of healing today. Not quite as worried about economics, maybe, as I should be. I'm not really, to be honest about it, probably as worried about any of it as I should be. And I just think it's probably just callousness on my part, not really faithfulness. I know that God is in control. I know that certain things must happen before the end of the world, and the world is getting darker. There's political turmoil, not only in our country, but in many other places, and these things are going to come to pass. But at the time of this recording, the end is not yet. At the time of this recording, we are looking at Mark chapter 11, in which Jesus is getting ready to go to the cross. We'll try to finish the second half of Mark 11 today. If you will remember, last Sunday and Monday morning, one of the things we talked about was Jesus rebuking a fig tree. In verses 11 through 14, Jesus, as they were entering into Jerusalem, he came upon a fig tree. He thought, hey, this thing should have some figs on it, and it didn't. And he cursed the fig tree, and his apostles, his disciples, heard it. In the next few verses, verses 15 through 19, he went into the temple, and he cast out the money changers. That was where we closed out last week. And then in verse 20, we pick up the story once again. It says, "In the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots." Now, that's the reason I went back with as detailed of a review as I did. The disciples were there. Jesus said, "There won't be any more figs on you." Jesus said unto it, "No man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever." And his disciples heard it. That's verse 14 there. And Peter, calling to remember it, saith unto him, "Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away." And Jesus answering saith unto them, "Have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. And when ye stand praying, forgive, if ye have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if ye do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses." I really want to finish this chapter today. We're going to do our best to. We've got to stop and think about for just a minute this fig tree probably representative of the nation of Israel. Old Testament prophets would have said things like that, this type of thing. The cursing, I listened to Alistair Begg talk about this very passage, and in fact, he went through the other Gospels as he talked about it. No mistake that it's included here with casting out the money changers. Jesus came to the nation of Israel. They looked good. They looked the part, but they did not bear fruit. Just like this fig tree, Jesus came. The fig tree looked good, but it had spent all its resources on leaves and not producing fruit. The Pharisees and the Sadducees looked good. They made everything clean. They made everything proper, but they did not produce the right kind of fruit. And they would presently be cursed as well. We could question the negative nature of this miracle. Most of the miracles Jesus did were not of this nature. I don't know of anything else that he cursed. Most of the time he was giving sight to the blind, hearing to the deaf, raising the dead. I mean, just on and on and on with the great things that he did. I will say that Mr. Begg brought out, I had never thought about this, you know, the fig tree was withered away. Most of the time, death would take longer than that. You know, we see a tree that's struck by lightning, or we even apply herbicide to a field, or whatever the case is. You know, now the small plants will wither that day. But a large plant, many times it's days before you know for sure whether or not you did any good, depending on the size and this type of thing. Could add some virtue to the argument for a young earth, but be that as it may, because God can age things. You know, as I look at this passage, look at the last part of it, and I mean this in application to me. I believe it applies to Israel. I believe it applies to the nature of miracles. I believe that there's so many things that we can take from it. And Jesus talks about prayer here, and guys, let's don't read too much into that. You know, when we pray, and I think we ought to pray for people. We ought to pray for our families, this type of thing. If you need $1 million, God will give it to you. I would love to have it, but I hadn't got it, and to be honest about it, I hadn't asked for that. What about these last couple of verses we read? Jesus is careful here to note, Mark is careful here to bring in his account, this thing about forgiveness. And guys, I'm just going to tell you something. Of course, in Matthew, he says same thing. You know, if you forgive, you can receive forgiveness. If you don't, you won't. But I'll tell you something else. Excuse me, and this is not to take away from anything else, but guys, if you don't forgive, you're not going to bear fruit. I mean, forgiveness needs to be at the heart of everything we do, and guys, I'm just going to tell you, this old boy sitting behind the microphone today doesn't have any choice, because I've done too much wrong. I've got to be willing to forgive. But an unforgiving spirit, it'll dry you out. I mean, when you have to get up every morning and remember who you hate and remember why you're mad and this type of thing, it'll do away with your fruit-bearing skills. Then we come to the rest of the chapter here. It says, they come again to Jerusalem, and as he was walking in the temple, there come to him the chief priest and the scribes and the elders, and say unto him, by what authority doest thou these things, and who gave thee this authority to do these things? Now, I suppose that's a fine question, except for the fact Jesus has been with them about 3.5 years. I don't think they saw the cursing of the fig tree. Jesus answered and said unto them, I will also ask of you one question, and answer me, and I will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, was it from heaven or of men? Answer me. And they reasoned with themselves, saying, If we shall say from heaven, he will say, Why then did ye not believe him? But if we shall say of men, they feared the people, for all men counted John, that he was a prophet indeed. And they answered and said unto Jesus, We cannot tell. And Jesus answering saith unto them, Neither I tell you by what authority I do these things. Now, as we stop and consider this, these men wanted Jesus dead. They wanted him out. He was a thorn in their flesh. He was a pebble in their shoe. I mean, they were just trying to come up with anything to get rid of this guy. So they said, let's ask him by what authority he's doing this. Where they came up with this question, I don't know. But I will say that they played right into Jesus' hands. And, of course, you know, he's God. He knows. But Jesus asked him a question. I'm not always this good. In fact, rarely am I this good that I can answer a question with a question. Jesus said, well what about John? Where'd his authority come from? And they, boy, they got to think now. Well, if we admit it was from heaven, I threw in the word admit, then we got to believe him. And he said Jesus was the Messiah. If we say it's from men, all these people are going to run over us. They said the best thing for us to say is we don't know. Jesus said, I'm not going to tell you either. Now, I think part of this may be to tell us that there are some questions in this lifetime we're not going to know the answer to. That's not always easy to live with. Sometimes as we wrestle and we struggle, boy, it would just be nice to be able to call even the Apostle Paul and say, hey, how should we handle this situation? Or to be able to make contact with the Lord himself directly. And he's given us enough in his word that we can follow him. He's given us enough in his word that we can know him. And the truth of the matter is, he's given us enough in his word that we know by what authority he did those things. It was by the same authority that he allowed himself to be crucified. It was by the same authority that raised him from the dead on the third day. It's the same authority that gives him the ability today to save all those who call upon him. It's by the same authority that he sends his Holy Spirit to deal with us as sinners, that he calls unto us, Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I believe he dealt with these men as well, but they rejected him. There were some who believed him, and it was hard because they were in the minority, and they had to take the chance that they would lose power and privilege if they sided with Jesus. Friends, what do you hope to gain if you gain the whole world and lose your very own soul? There are some things that Jesus is not going to tell us until we get there. But the main thing he tells us is, Come unto me. Romans 10:9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, that thou shalt be saved. He has the authority to save you, to make you whole. I hope that you will accept that promise of God today. Thank you so much for tuning in and listening this morning. Lord willing, we'll be back next week. God bless you, God bless America, and God bless Israel today as well.